Morning, everyone. It's lovely to be with you again this morning. We've come into our second phase of looking up, and we really are continuing to trust God as we go forward. I'd like to pray before we go into God's word and be encouraged today. Father, this day belongs to you, and thank you that you've ordained its plans and purposes, and we just thank you that we're going to fulfill the plans and the purpose of Christ today. So, Lord, we ask that the word would come and renew our minds and our hearts today. May we find the truth of who you are and what you are telling us. May we be encouraged and may we be stirred up, Lord, to live this life of faith in you and fulfill all that you've called us to do. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to just say to you as a family, well done for your hearts of love and encouraging one another and being there for one another. Continue to do that. Never stop fellowshipping, whether it's by telephone or WhatsApp or the means that we have now, but continue to contact one another and love one another. Also, another discipline I just really want to encourage us as God's spoken to me in this season is in this area of our generosity. And I want to say thank you for your generosity. Thank you for giving to God, and your giving is received, and God is using it for His purposes. And God is pleased about that. But I want to just encourage you in our generosity. In 2 Corinthians 9, the scripture talks about the seed and the bread. Let's continue to be giving the seed and eating the bread. I really do want to encourage you in this season. It's important to continue to give what is due to the Lord. Continue to give your tithes and your offerings to the Lord, and then to eat what He's given to you to provide for your sustenance. And I want to just tell you, it's a time of miracles. As we continue to give to God, we've got to give seed to Him to enable for miracles to take place. It's only when you put seed in the ground that we see the seed grow and produce a harvest. And it's the same with us. God's given us the finances and the means that He's given us. Continue to give to Him. But also, I want to just encourage you in the season where we're finding a lot of folk are battling and things are changing as we go forward. I want to really ask in the area of our offerings. I know we've encouraged you in the past to give apostolically into the building fund and into the almsgiving, but I really do want to ask, maybe you want to just redirect your apostolic giving and your building fund giving to almsgiving for mercy gifts to people. We really want to continue to feed people. We want to help out in the Bears Valley for the poor people there, people in our midst that are poor and people that are going to be battling. We want to redirect as much as we can into those outworkings. Also, Mother's Hubbard, that Judy's running, we want to fill that up again and be able to give as much as we can. So thank you once again for giving to the Lord. And we just really just trust as you sow, God will bless you and enrich you in many ways. So this morning's message is titled Get Out of the Boat, and I'd like to go to the portion of scripture from Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 33. Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. And I read it to you. And this was after Jesus had fed the 5,000, and immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat and the wind died down, then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, in the context of this portion of scripture, which was a real life experience for the disciples, It came after the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus dismissed the crowds, and the disciples were immediately sent by the Lord to cross the lake. And then Jesus continued with his outworking of his leadership in that time. So I want to cover it from this portion of scripture, and I really do believe that God will speak to us through this portion of scripture. May the pertinent points, may you write them down as the Spirit leads to you, and may you go and apply it to your life as we go forward. So the 5 points I want to cover today: number one, Christ's discipline; number two, what absolute dominion our Savior has over all created things; number three, Jesus has power to bestow on them that believe on him; number four, how much trouble disciples bring upon themselves by unbelief; and fifthly, how merciful our Lord Jesus Christ is to the weak believers. So firstly, Christ's discipline. And we see here the Lord knew what he was doing. He sent immediately his disciples on their way by boat across the lake, because he said he'll meet them on the other side. And then he went about dismissing the crowds. And, you know, just his interaction, as much as he performed a miracle and provided for them, he still loved them and he dismissed them to go on their way. And that just shows that the Lord is an incredible leader. He loves his people, and he still desires to have order and purpose, and he's continuing to do that as he leads us as we go forward. But then it says very clearly, after the disciples have been sent away, the crowds have been dismissed, Jesus had a priority. And what was that? It was to pray. And importantly, he didn't stay there next to the lake. He went up the mountain. It was away from people to a solitary place, and that was a place to pray. And here our Lord, so disciplined, went to go and spend time with our Father. But I want to just encourage us what the Lord did there. There was a conscious effort of him to move away from the crowds, to move away from people, to go and spend time with his Father, and to go and have conversation with him and to pray. And if this was so important from the Lord, after a miraculous work of feeding the 5,000, he went to go and pray. And what was that? The Bible doesn't tell us what was in that prayer time, but I'm sure it was a conversation with the Father, explaining all that happened and whether the Father was pleased and what was his perspective. And in that, bring requests before the Father and then to receive further instructions. And I'm sure part of that instruction was to go after the disciples, and we're not sure what the instruction was, but I'm sure the Father said, now go to the disciples and show them who you really are. So the prayer brings out an amazing dimension of the divine. And I really want to encourage you, where we are at this time, in this time of looking up, or as the world has called it, lockdown, prayer is a vital, vital element of what we are doing. Prayer is not only therefore to get our requests answered, and we need to bring our requests before God, because there are some things that we have ahead of us, all of us, and we do not know what tomorrow holds. Even though we know who holds tomorrow, we need to be in a place where we can spend time with God and pray and hear his voice. So prayer is the answer, folk. I really believe it's a grace that we've been preaching. It's a grace that God has given us, and Jesus shows us the way as an example to pray. And I encourage you to pray. Speak to your Father in heaven, in your Lord, by the Holy Spirit, and let's us hear what he's actually saying to us in this time. May not be just a time of preparation, but maybe a time of going forward, because God has got a plan for us and got a purpose for us, and he's got a future for us. And we've got to hear his voice in this time. We serve the living God, and he has a voice, and he wants to speak to every one of us. Quentin was just sharing with us last night about a prophecy that came quite a few years ago about the situation which we find ourselves in. And I won't go into the details of that, but one of the key elements of that, we're going to overcome what we're facing at this point in time, not necessarily the world's means, but through prayer. And I want to just say, stand with us, join with us in prayer on a daily basis. Pray with us on a Wednesday by Zoom corporately, if not by Zoom, will you just join your hearts with us in spirit, and will you continue to pray, and let's see our Father answer our prayers, because he desires to move on our behalf. He wants us to move mountains on his behalf, and I'm telling you now, we can overcome through prayer. It's our greatest weapon at this time. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us about the weapons of our warfare, in a sense that we have the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But it says, and when you've got the sword of the Spirit, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and request. And I ask you today, are you praying? Are you truly praying? Are you doing the work of prayer? I believe it's a work. It's not just a necessity. It's a work of prayer. God wants to work with us. And we've all got so much to learn in this area, but let's be doing it. Let's be doers of prayer, not only hearers of prayer. Secondly, what absolute dominion our Savior has over all created things. Here the Lord walks upon the Sea of Galilee, the lake, the winds and the winds and the waves toss the boat to and fro, and yet the Lord Jesus walks on these waves with his 2 feet, and there's a miracle that takes place. Now there could be many conspiracy theories and say that maybe it was a hard surface underneath that he was walking on, or something that ice formed underneath him, but I want to just say that's not the reality. It was a miracle. Science tells us it's an impossibility to walk on water, but here Jesus did, and there was this miracle that took place. But what we want to learn from this point is that all things are under Christ's control. All things serve him, and he allows these things to take place, but they all eventually work for his purposes. And I want to just say, even what we are facing now under COVID-19 and all the ramifications of that is fulfilling God's purposes going forward. So see that God is in control in these things, and may we see that our Lord will allow us to overcome in this. Interestingly enough is that Jesus never left the disciples to their own. He came to them to their aid, and it says at the fourth watch, which is 4 a.m. Now, I want to just say something about our Lord, that he loves us dearly, but he always comes to our aid. It may seem a bit later than normal, but he always comes to our aid. So may we be patiently waiting, looking out on the journey that we face ourselves, and may we be looking out, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, but looking out for him. When does he arrive to come bring his salvation to us? Thirdly, Jesus has power to bestow on them that believe on him. And here we see the proof of the divinity is that Jesus walked on water, but what did he do also? He gave Peter the ability also to walk on water. Now, Peter was like us, normal, weak and frail, but yet God gave him the power to walk on water. And that is the ability that I believe God has given to us. The Bible tells us that we are citizens of heaven. The Bible tells us to live a higher life. And I want to just say there's something in this situation that you can capitulate and fall back into comfort. You can fall back into self-pity. You can fall back into retrospective thinking. But I want to just say it's a time where God's going to give us an opportunity to get out of the boat and to walk in the supernatural. You know, I want to encourage you is that the Lord never desired for us to live in the natural. The Spirit wants us to walk in Christ, and that is walking in the fullness of God's divinity. Now, we may not feel it, and we don't walk by feelings, but we walk by faith. And I want to just say this is a time where God wants to carry us through our difficulties and our trials and whatever we are facing. He wants us to be overcomers and to live in the Spirit. We are not natural beings. We are new creations to live in the Spirit. And I want to encourage you to start to live this higher life and to step out of the boat, that every day that you live, believe God that you're getting out of the boat and you're going to continue to live in the Spirit. That's where God desires us to work. God is still a miracle worker. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said, "You will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father." It's the day of greater things. Don't live and capitulate to a lifestyle of man, but will you rise up and walk in the Spirit and live in that dimension, not restricted by the natural, but living in the fullness of what God has for us. And then fourthly, how much trouble disciples bring upon themselves through unbelief. What was happening at that time, Peter boldly walked onto the water, but when he saw the wind buffeting him, he began to become afraid, and he began to sink. What happens there is that the flesh started to take control of a willing spirit, and he forgot who had actually called him to walk on the water. What actually happened that fear came and took away his thought processes and his memory. Anxiety and alarm came to him and confused his reason. The wind and the waves immediately brought him to a place of thinking about danger, and his faith gave away to fear. And what happened? He cried out, luckily and blessedly, he said, "Lord, save me." And the Lord saved him at that time. So I wanted to say, how many of us start the life of faith well with the Lord, following him, getting out of the boat, but do not continue to go forward in faith? God has not changed. God is still desiring us to live by faith and not by sight. He doesn't want us to walk in any place of unbelief. Let our hearts not grow faint. May our hope not vanish. May our comfort not disappear in the Lord, but may we continue to go forward by faith. Now, I want to just encourage you, one of the easiest ways and the ways that I see in the scriptures is to enable us not to get into unbelief. It's a weapon, I really do believe, that God has given us in Christ to live, and it comes from 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What happens, folk, when we purposely, and I say that word clearly, purposely give thanks to God in all circumstances, through COVID-19, through restrictions, through finances that may be lacking? Will we give God glory through thanks? And I'm telling you now, when we give it to God and we give thanks to him to know that he's totally in control, what happens? I want to tell you, something of the divine starts to take place. Faith starts to release. You start to believe and trust in your living God. And you know what? God begins to do miracles behind the situation and in and for you. And I believe it's a time of miracles that God wants to bring in our lives. It's a time for God to reveal himself to us. But give thanks in all circumstances. This is not just a cop-out. This is a way of seeing the miracle worker continue to work in our lives. So may our anxiety and fearfulness be replaced by praise and thankfulness as we keep our eyes upon Jesus. May in any and every situation, may you learn to give thanks to the living God. And then fifthly, how merciful our Lord Jesus Christ is to weak believers. When Peter cried out to him, "Lord, save me," it says in verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. He said, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? You know, the Lord is so wonderful. He's so gentle. He doesn't leave us to go and reap the fruit of our unbelief. He saves us. And I want you to know that again today. He is Lord, but he's also Savior. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I want to just say that saving Lord Jesus is the same here today. Even though you might be in unbelief, I want to tell you the Lord is there to encourage you out of unbelief into stronger faith and go forward. The Lord is not there to rebuke you, but he is there to reproof you that you can rise up and walk by faith and not by sight. So the Lord is gentle to us and he's there to encourage us in this journey of following him. Again, I want to say to you, he's not the one that will leave us nor forsake us. He will continue to be our Savior right through to the end. He will take us into glory. He will take us into eternity with him. He is our Savior forever and ever and ever. So in conclusion, I just want to summarize what have we covered, and may these points be pertinent to you. Number one, Christ's discipline. Number two, what absolute dominion our Savior has over all created things. Number three, Jesus has power to bestow on them that believe on him. Number four, how much trouble disciples bring upon themselves by unbelief. And number five, how merciful our Lord Jesus is to weak believers. So I really want to encourage you. There's some life lessons from this portion of scripture and the situation that we are facing at this time. I want to tell you, do not fall back. Do not fall back into the flesh, but rise up and walk into the Spirit and walk into the dimension of the Spirit, as Galatians says, walk in the Spirit. And may that be a reality to us today. So I say to you, get out of the boat, walk in the Spirit. Don't walk by sight, but walk by faith. And let's see the dimension of God a reality in your life and my life. It's a time for miracles, folks. It's a time for miracles. So as we come to the end of this message, and maybe you out there and you've never responded to the Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe you want to know him for who he is, this miracle worker, the God that is divine, and he wants to reveal himself to you. And if that's you today and you want to bow your heart to him and you want to know him as Lord God and Savior, will you close your eyes today and will you respond with your heart and your mind, and will you speak these words after me? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I respond to you and I see that you are a miracle worker, and I truly do need a miracle in my life to translate me out of darkness and out of the sin that I find myself. Will you bring me into your kingdom? Will you bring me into your light? Will you bring me to know you as a miracle worker? Will you bring me to a place of knowing your saving grace? And I want to say thank you, as I've believed upon you, that now I'm a child of God and belong to you. And I say thank you now for your grace in Jesus' name. To everyone out there, I want to ask you to start to walk in the dimensions of the supernatural, the miracle working. Will you step out of the boat at this time? Will you walk away from mundane religious experiences and walk into the fullness of what God has for us? Will you expand your prayer life to believe for the impossible? Will you begin to see God in his greatness and his wonder? We are not restricted folk. This is not a time for chains. It's a time to grow and walk in the fullness of what God has got for us. So you stir up your faith. May you stir up the gift of the Holy Spirit within you. And will you begin to walk in the dimension of the Spirit as never before? Jesus wants to reveal that he's a miracle worker. Come, let's get out of the boat together. God bless you. Have a great day. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and may you fulfill everything that he has planned for you today. God bless you all. Amen.